Hello, I'm Kevin Jester McGill. Almost forgot
And
my name.
I'm Adam Oldman Winters. It has been a long time since we've done one of these before.
It's been like, I think, a year and a half, maybe almost 2 years, because I know we stopped doing them because I had a kid, and he's over a year old now, so.
Yeah, we celebrated with a special baby episode or baby
Yeah.
themed commentary session, which was a happy occasion, I guess, to go out on. But
Yeah.
this time we've come back together for a very sad occasion, actually.
Yep. As of New Year's Eve, we lost voice actor, well, okay, on screen and voice actor James Avery, best known for his roles of Uncle Phil on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and of course, to Turtle fans, as the voice of Shredder on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So, yeah, it's kind of a bummer to come back and talk about James Avery, but we picked a couple episodes that are pretty James Avery heavy, I guess.
Seeing his range of talent that he displays here in the show. So we're starting with the old Switcheroo, written by Michael Reeves.
Yep.
And we
One
pick
of
up with poor Irma at one of her most desperate states.
Yep, poor Irma. One of the many brain swappy episodes of the Ninja Turtles.
Brain swappy. Let's see. How many were there?
Well, okay, I can think of at least two, so that's not that many, I guess.
It seems like, though, if most cartoon shows, whether they're old cartoons or whether they're fairly modern cartoons, they go long enough, they'll have a mind swap episode where
Is it?
some character ends up in somebody else's body.
Yeah, I think this is the only one where it's two main cast members, because the other one is Raphael and a cabbie, which is
Oh,
kind of.
Raphael drives them wild,
Yep.
right? Oh, yeah. Well animated episode. That's about all I can say for it.
Yeah, that's about all it can be said about it. Donatello's pizza maker.
What is it about this pizza maker that makes it more efficient than a regular oven? Does it mass produce them, or what is it?
I have no clue. It's a, I guess, super quick. I guess it's speed.
I mean, it doesn't seem like Michelangelo has much trouble warming pizzas up in the oven, but.
No.
So here's Donatello. He's got bags of flour, 20 tomatoes. This looks dangerous. I
Part of me
wouldn't.
wonders if this was supposed to be like a in-episode reference to the pizza thrower, but I don't know.
Yeah, we never did get that in the show. If you'll
Although,
notice, Leonardo actually ate more pizza than Michelangelo there. That was kind of surprising.
what?
He grabbed two handfuls of it. You know, this episode starts with a pizza fiasco, and later on it'll be a pizza that sort of tips the turtles off that not all is right with Master Splinter.
Yep. Gotta have pizza references. And of course, the pizza fiasco leads to Leonardo being injured and Splinter having to come on the mission with them. Or we would
They
have a plot.
did not show any blood, though, did they? No
No.
blood.
No blood. Can't have blood. It's a kid's show. Shredder's Goonies? Are they good enough? Sorry. Bad joke.
So this is one of the few times that Splinter actually accompanies the Turtles on any kind of missions in this show. It's a fairly rare thing when he does it,
Yeah,
almost like he.
sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I was.
I was just gonna say everybody gives Nick Splinter so much grief for staying home while the boys go out and, you know, traipse around and have adventures, but Fred Wolf Splinter's probably less proactive than that.
It's always been a. To me, I've always assumed that this Splinter is supposed to be somewhat of an elderly fellow. Like,
That's
Shredder's
true.
always calling him old man and things like that. So, I always thought it was more understandable in this show. He just has a feeble look to him.
That's
I
true.
guess
Nick
the same
Splinter is
with
a
the
little bit
Nick.
more.
I guess the Nick Splinter, he just looks like a physically imposing powerhouse. And so, I guess a lot of people are just curious as to why he doesn't seem to want to get proactive about anything. Because it doesn't look like he's hampered in any way physically.
I can agree with that. It makes sense.
Now, of course, the four kids show, that was the most active Splinter we've ever seen in any incarnation, I guess. He's constantly going out on surface missions.
And you always knew things were going pretty hardcore if Splinter accompanied the Turtles and four kids. You knew that it was a big moment.
So we're coming up on the scene when some laser blasters are about to be misfired, and some weird sci-fi things are going to happen. Nobody should ever stand on a platform in some weird warehouse full of technology. Like, characters were always having problems standing on random platforms in technology warehouses. It just happened more often than you would think.
And as Krang will later say, it's like, funny accidents with, or slight accidents with funny rays can have serious consequences.
Indeed. Words to live by. Bebop and Rocksteady's solution to everything is just keep shooting.
Yeah.
Something to go right for them.
I just wonder how they're going to get him out through the ceiling.
Well, I just thought they shot the ceiling to bring the house down. And they take him out through the door there. And I love Bebop's line about, we'll steal the catering truck so we can eat and run.
And here's where we get to see Avery's range.
Yeah. He plays it so polite and dignified here, his turn as from a heel to hero.
Yep. I guess we can't discount Peter Renaday either, because he does a really good job of evil Splinter here.
Oh, yeah. I think Avery has the stronger performance. Maybe because it's just a shock to hear him so subdued as Shredder.
It's true.
But you know, Renaday got angry as Splinter more often than you would think. He would show his temper from time to time. But
that's true.
This is the first time we've got to see Avery with a subdued, gentlemanly Shredder in the show.
Yeah. And to be fair, they do have a lot of inner monologue of Splinter in Shredder's voice by Avery. So even when it's not, you know, Splinter, you know, I can't talk. But
I've seen various cartoon shows do it differently, and I can't think of specific examples. But when you have this mind swap TV trope that often happens, some shows will literally change the voice along with the mind, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but maybe they just felt like they'd be easier on the voice actors, or kids would make the kids less confused. But this one does it pretty well. It keeps the voice actor with the character. They just change the performance, but you still get the inner monologue that clues you in on who it really is. And I think that's probably the best way to do it, in my opinion. Yeah.
I've always thought it was wacky when they did change both the character and the voice. It just seems kind of like a cheat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think it was when they were driving in the van and Bebop and Rocksteady are suspicious when Shredder's being polite with them that Avery or Splinter, you know, decides to act like Shredder, and he calls them scrupulous ignoramuses, I think, which means they're very scrupulous in their idiocy. So I always liked that insult. I don't remember if I heard Shredder actually say that in the show, but it sounded so great, something that Splinter would think up to insult the mutants with.
I do think it's kind of odd that they put a cold compress over his eyes to keep him from seeing the way to the lair, just kind of. It's like, oh, yeah, let's go ahead and add on to the complete convenience, I guess.
See, the first time I saw the episode, I suspected the Turtles might have been privy to what might have happened, because it just seemed so odd that they're walking him down the sewers blindfolded, more or less. They're not carrying him or anything like that. They're just making him walk, but not letting him see anything.
Oh. I'm kind of surprised that they didn't keep the, because it seemed like earlier they had like dark circles under Splinter's eyes to kind of show that he was evil. I kind of wish they'd have kept that. It kind of was subtle, but looked kind of cool.
What were Shredder and the mutants up in the warehouse for? What were they looking to steal? Was that the thermo something gyro? Some kind of electrical. I don't know. Some kind of electrical device to power the Technodrome, I'm sure.
More than likely.
We don't often see rock soldiers in the Technodrome. Guess Krang has his portal working pretty well in this episode. So you can work a transdimensional portal, no problem, but powering the Technodrome, that's another matter. Here's a James Avery acting all dutifully as Shredder. He's like the obedient son here to Krang.
Yes, dear. I'll go back and...
We don't often get to see good shots of the Turtles' workout room. The weapons. They go through the weapons room and they get to the training area. But Splinter is bringing out the dangerous utensils here.
I don't even know if that's a practical weapon, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a
spear. I mean, the spear seems like it would work, but adding the mace just seems like a little bit over the top.
You'd have to be very strong to work that thing with any kind of competency. This is the type of the swinging motions you'd have to do.
I think this is the only time that it kind of weirded me out, even as a kid, that they used James Avery's voice coming out, literally out of Splinter's mouth. It's not inner monologue. It's actually him speaking.
Yeah, animation snafu there. And the turtles know something's up. Scientific curiosity. I always like this conversation. Like, it's clear that because Splinter is tipping his hand here, that Shredder never, ever, ever in his long-term relationship with Krang, did he ever raise a matter of scientific curiosity with him. He's just pretty much saying, when do I get my next weapon? So when Splinter tries to press him on the logic behind some of the contraptions, let me just say the way the conversation starts out, what is it? Are you familiar with the theory of mind transference? Is that what he says?
Something along those lines.
That's exactly the kind of line that would occur in a Napoleon Dynamite movie between Kip and Uncle Rico there. It's like,
are you familiar with the theory of mind transference?
Oh, yes. I've looked into it on the internet.
I really wonder how effective it is to try and change your brainwaves to match that of, you know, your arch nemesis.
I mean, who knew Krang even had this device, and how often would he have even bothered to use it? Because he already has a copy of Shredder's brainwaves. So at some point, maybe it's like maybe Shredder doesn't go to get a physical, so he just has to go to Krang to give him a brainwave scan to. Make sure all his bodily functions are normal. So, I mean, he's got it saved on his computer, and Splinter just decides, and I don't know, again, how does Splinter know how to match the brainwaves of Saki? Maybe it's just
knowing... It's a ninja trick.
Knowing him so well from the dojo, I guess Splinter just has to start thinking how he thinks Oroku Saki would think. Just in that scene, we got a bit of a rare shot of foot soldiers standing around. We don't often get prop characters just standing off to the sides in a lot of episodes, but
thermocoupler galvanometer.
Yeah.
Thank you, Krang.
I don't think one actually exists in the world. I think I looked it up on the internet, didn't find one. You know what's funny? Shredder, Bosch, Splinter, when he's under Shredder's thought control, and Splinter when he's back in his own body, they pretty much have the turtles doing the same thing, just chores every day. It's not really that different. Constantly getting on them about training and constantly getting on them about chores. Both Shredder and Splinter have the same style of parenting in that regard.
Oh,
even though he just kisses April and tells her to get out of the place. That's pretty harsh. Of course, the turtles just up and run. And Splinter has no idea what happened. He just, I mean, Shredder, who are we talking about? The rat over there. The rat has no idea what just happened.
I think this is my favorite part of the episode. Where we have the confrontation with Shredder, with Splinter's brain into turtles and confusing.
Yeah, I'm confused just talking about it. I mean, what do you call these people? The turtles and April, they have that same problem, right? We got to tell Splinter, Shredder, whoever it is down there. Okay, here's Avery's excellent delivery again. He has some real moments to shine here in these parts after the fight takes place.
Yep. I'm not sure why, but I always liked Cam Clark's, like, heck, there isn't Shredder line. I don't know why.
Yeah. This is a very poor idea by Michelangelo. Eventually, he's going to lose those nunchucks later on in the year.
Yeah. Poor nunchucks.
Now, Leonardo's considerably more effective at tricking Bebop than Michelangelo is. Now, here's Avery's great line here. What does he call it? Sync with your hearts, not with your eyes. It's so cliched. As a ninja master, wise fellow line, but Avery just delivers it with a sense of genuineness, I think.
He does a really great job as Hamato Yoshi in Shredder's body.
If not, then do with me as you will. I will not fight you. That was often a position that, you know, we see Splinter take through the shows about he's not fighting his friends even when they might be his enemies. You know, is there somebody's under mind control or whatever? He just doesn't want to engage against the people that he cares about. Look at that dirty rat in the lair with those beady eyes. Oh, that's great. So I love this scene with them all just sitting around Indian style here in the alley. Like,
Oh, here we go. Good
it's
question,
just sort of a
April.
Nice, serene little scene. Like, I don't know what's happened to Rocksteady and Bebop at this point. One of them stuck in the sewer. One of them, they got knocked out, pinned by the ladder?
I think Rocksteady's still pinned to the wall.
And, but, you know, they're all just chilling, sitting in the street, having a nice little conversation, thinking up a plan.
I think he'd be the only one that would really be concerned about changing back. If I was Splinter, I'd almost say, is it really that big a deal to change back? I could almost just stay Orokusaki, and it'd be fine.
Oh, yeah, can you imagine? I mean, that's,
It'd be kind of weird looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
But he'd be human again.
Mask on. Oh, there they are, Rocksteady and Bebop are back.
Yeah, they just kind of finally show back up.
You know, in this episode, Shredder, who's actually Splinter, opens the door lock with a gauntlet. If you remember in season 8, I think it is, Splinter just karate chops a big door lock with his hand. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
In the Channel 6 building, that was pretty hardcore. Okay, they're going to fight again in a very lamely animated kick there that Splinter just leveled on Shredder, who's actually Splinter. I love the loyalty that Bebop and Rocksteady show during this bit. Just how remarkably loyal they are to their boss, Shredder, even when he's, even as terribly as he's clearly treated them, you know, never spoken a kind word to them in their existence.
Yeah.
Just how loyal they are to him.
Yeah, they show complete shock when he is nice to them earlier in the episode.
It unnerves them, yeah. And then once he gets back to insulting them, they're comforted once again. What a dysfunctional relationship. I think that's what sort of bothered me in Turtles Forever, when it Rocksteady and Bebop, when they're working for the new Shredder, it's like they like having him as a boss as opposed to Orokusaki.
Even meaner to them. They must be like...
Well, maybe that's what attracted them to him. Maybe it was
got, like, battered minion syndrome.
Yeah. Well, I guess they can have a moment of weakness. Oh, Donatello's solution to every technological problem is to either kick it or punch it. Or in this case, let Rocksteady shoot it with a ray gun.
Barney rubbling will always work.
They even made a joke about that in the Turtle Leonardo... Star.
Oh, sorry.
Was it the Rex 1, the second Rex 1 episode?
Yes.
Leonardo Renaissance Turtle. Turtle. It's like, what would Donatello do if he were here? He's like, something like this, and he punches it and works again.
And yeah, I want to say it is one of the jokes that makes its way into Turtles Forever, because even Four Kids Donnie starts beating things just to get them to work.
Nothing wrong with that. We were the generation that blew into our Nintendo cartridges to fix them.
I really wonder what that would have been like if Bebop and Rocksteady had switched minds in an episode. Would we have noticed?
No telling. There's a number of episodes in this series where we have Splinter laying out on a pillow in his meditation area, having to recuperate or something. He just looks so feeble sometimes.
He just keeps that tucked behind his shell.
Who knows?
I wouldn't want to eat it either. It's been stuck in his shell.
Not as nasty as the pizza that Nickelodeon Michelangelo keeps around.
That's true.
Disgusting stuff.
Like roof pizza.
Well, there we have it. The old switcheroo went by, and nice performance by James Avery as a Shredder.
Yeah, he probably still stands out as my favorite Shredder.
I mean, of everyone who's ever voiced him or played him.
Pretty much. Except maybe the live-action movie Shredder, but that's kind of a combination.
That was dubbed,
as a voice.
Yeah, I mean, that's
that's true, he was dubbed. But
all right, credits have rolled. I guess we'll wrap this one up and move on to another one.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.